Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready for some football? Buffalo Bill style.
Shady's going to score. Shady's going to score. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime. Walk up top at the 33-yard line. The Bills recover. Buffalo recovers. Set. Brought down by Kyle Williams back at the 15-yard line.
Bring it. This is the pregame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Oh, yeah. So it's a Friday in August. And that means it's preseason football time, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Shope and the Bulldog Show. The Shope half has been off all this week, so you got just me hanging with you, getting you ready for the 7:30 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns, with John Murphy and Mark Kelso calling the play-by-play live from the Northwest broadcast booth. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Today's preseason game is presented by Madai College. Our students are empowered. Cleveland is an open-air stadium, thus the weather forecast is pertinent. I don't know how pertinent it is to people in our audience, although if you're driving down there, which I'm sure some of you are, thank you for listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network on your way to Cleveland. You should know that it doesn't look great weather-wise in Cleveland. It's going to be hot, and there's a pretty good chance of thunderstorms, it looks like. So could be a little iffy there on the weather front in Cleveland. Highs in the upper 70s by game time and a 45% chance or thereabouts of thunderstorms at some point during the window in which the game will be played against a 7:30 kickoff. The weather brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So you might sense a little extra juice in my voice for a preseason game. I hope you do. It is not something I'm putting on just to be a pro and try to sell you on the merits of this game. I'm into this game. I just ran into a guy that I've been working here with for maybe more than 20 years. One of our sales guys. And he's on his way out, and I was on my way in. I've been here for a little while, but I just happened to be out in the lobby, and I passed him, and I said, "Hey, man, what's up?" He's like, "I'm going home to tailgate in my driveway for a preseason game." And I went, "Yeah, see?" It's like, this is awesome. Josh Allen is a key factor in that on the Bills' end, but I don't think there's any denying the interest level and the appeal, if appeal is the right word, I might need to be corrected on that by someone at some point, of Tyrod Taylor being on the other side of this game. I think that's really cool. Tyrod Taylor, of course, was the Buffalo Bills quarterback for the past three seasons. He was the quarterback who helped author the end to the drought, and he was traded to the Cleveland Browns by Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott this offseason, where he has taken over the role of starter. For how long? We'll see. They drafted Baker Mayfield number one overall, so much like here in Buffalo, where A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman are vying for the starting job along with rookie Josh Allen. Should one of them win the job, it seems like it will be temporary. I would think even at some point this year, Josh Allen will play regular season games for the Buffalo Bills. I want to say I expect the same thing to happen at some point this year in Cleveland, but what has happened in Cleveland is that their head coach, for whatever it's worth, you might just think he's just saying it because it's the case right now, has said that Tyrod Taylor is going to be their quarterback for the entire season. Whatever they end up doing with Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield really is immaterial for this conversation today as we get you ready for this preseason game tonight. Taylor's going to be playing for another team. And I know it's not a real game and it's not real schemes and, you know, all of that. The preseason pledge from Jeremy White, the morning show co-host of our flagship station here in Buffalo. Preseason pledge. Don't take any of it seriously. Don't overreact to any of it. Don't draw any conclusions from it. Don't do anything decisive, basically. But still, with that said, I think tonight, if you're Twitter inclined, i.e. you're someone who likes to be on Twitter during games, I would pour yourself a stiff, tall glass of something that you really like before you log on, because I think fans are going to be flipping out no matter what happens. Because there are two, as we well know, I don't think we need to go too far to reestablish what the landscape was like here around Tyrod Taylor's existence as the Bills starting quarterback. But you had two very clearly defined groups. There's get him out of here, he's terrible. And there's he didn't get a fair shake and you people don't know what you're going to be missing. I think those are the two groups. So, there's lovers and haters, if that's not overstating it to some extent. And I think the Hatfields and McCoys, I didn't realize that I'd be saying not LeSean McCoy. Anyway, feud, legendary feuds I'm looking for here, okay? I think these two groups of fans are going to be on each other tonight, no matter what happens. If he does really well, Tyrod Taylor spins away from Jerry Hughes in the first quarter and runs 16 yards for a first down on 3rd and 12. His supporters, his fans are going to be going, look at Tyrod Taylor, Bills fans, you're such idiots. And if he, likewise, tries to spin away from Jerry Hughes and runs right into Shaq Lawson and takes a sack when he could have thrown it easily to who's the pothead receiver guy?
Callaway.
Yeah, thank you. Could have thrown it to him easily, but he didn't because he didn't pull the trigger. Then Tyrod Taylor's detractors. Pothead really wasn't needed there, by the way. I apologize. I didn't mean to. I'm not judging. His detractors would be like, see, Cleveland, look what you got. And all of that is stupid and worthless, but it will be happening, and I would predict that more of you than you might think, right now, someone who's listening to me say this is saying, I'm not going to get into it, and you're going to get into it. Somebody's going to say something so stupid in your opinion on Twitter that you are going to engage, and then yeah, maybe your night will be ruined. Maybe it will be fun. Maybe it will enhance the watching of the game. I don't know, but that I think has the potential to be a really little interesting little sidelight to this game. Just what's going to be happening on social media amongst fans. I don't think I'll be participating in that myself. I'll review afterward. Got some people coming over. Yes, I'm having a party for a Bills preseason game. That is happening. Pizza is being picked up. Beers are on ice. And I'm done here at 7 with my part of the pregame show. And the game kicks off just a little bit after 7:30. And I got to get back to Ridgeway, Ontario. And I'm going to be hauling. Because I don't want to miss any of this. I am really into this game. Taylor's a huge part of that. Like I've already said, and Bills fans, I don't know, how you're feeling now, months after his trade to Cleveland and on the night where he'll be playing against the Bills for the first time, albeit in just a preseason game. But if you want to air out anything on Taylor, phone lines are open. I've got, really, it's just me here. Mike's off. I've got Sal, coming on a couple of different times between now and 6 o'clock. But really, there's a lot of time for us to hang out and kind of, if you want to rap about Taylor, we can, of course, rap about the Bills. I'll set up a lot of other subjects that are worth talking about, in my opinion. But the Taylor piece to me is, I think, an interesting piece because he was, maybe somewhat like Josh Allen. He was somewhat of a polarizing figure in town, and there were strong opinions on both sides. And I think unlike a lot of sports arguments, I think really both sides have valid arguments. Tyrod Taylor was pretty good. He also probably, at least in my opinion, wasn't good enough. So you tie yourself up into knots talking about him. The Bills made the decision, of course, to move on from him. And whether you supported it or disliked it, this might be like maybe our last chance to really ever talk about him unless they meet in the playoffs this year. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers if you want to get on board here and talk with me during our Bills game day coverage on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Tyrod Taylor is one subject that I think is certainly worth talking about. So that there's that. What does the Bills offense look like in this game is interesting to me. And I know, again, I'll reference the preseason pledge. Don't overreact. Don't make judgments, really, because you're not sure what you're seeing. But big but, day glow orange but. I was encouraged by a few different elements of the Bills offense in the preseason opener against Carolina. One was, and this might just have been just because it's a preseason game and just because they have a quarterback competition, and the best way to, I think, figure out who's going to win a quarterback competition is by having the quarterbacks do what quarterbacks have to do best, and that's throw. So the Bills came out throwing, and I liked that. I don't need to have a handoff competition to decide who's going to be my quarterback. I know, like, the running game matters and all this stuff, and LeSean McCoy is still on the Bills. But I thought they gave Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron, and then even in the second half, Josh Allen, ample opportunity to try to impress. And I liked that. The design of the offense, the amount of formations that were used, the personnel that was shuttled in and out, play to play to play, it seemed, I don't want to overstate it, but it seemed like most every play, there were new people coming in and out, and the formations varied a lot. And furthermore, and what's maybe most encouraging is that despite all of that, which could be a recipe for confusion, something we talked about on our roundtable segment last week before the Bills-Panthers game. I know Chris Brown even made the point, like, you got to worry about pushing that envelope too far and ending up with confusion reigning supreme on your offense. They weren't confused at all. There was no delay of game, no like burned timeouts trying to figure out what was supposed to be happening. It ran at a pretty good pace. I mean, not breakneck, no huddle pace, but at a healthy pace and varied formations. And I mean, it worked. It looked like, to me, perhaps a smart 21st century NFL offense. And that is something that I would be very encouraged to see more of tonight in this game against Cleveland. It does not at all mean that that is sure to be what it will look like when they play the Baltimore Ravens for real on September 9th in the regular season, but it would be, to me, another encouraging sign. However large a grain of salt you want to put on that, feel free. But that's something that I think is worth watching. Of course, how all three of these quarterbacks perform and the order in which they come into the game. We, as of now, still do not know who is going to start this game. Last week on Thursday, we found out about an hour or less before kickoff that Nathan Peterman was going to be the Bills' starting quarterback, and then A.J. McCarron came in second, and Josh Allen played the entire second half, cleaning up with the third team. Now, this week, as practice has unfolded and training camp has wrapped up at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, Josh Allen has worked exclusively with the twos, and Peterman and McCarron took turns with the ones and the threes. So we'll see what that ends up meaning. Who starts might be a bigger question than when Josh Allen plays. I'm betting pretty heavily that Josh Allen is the second quarterback in this game and plays with the second team. Perhaps it's even possible that if they want the first team offense to play a little bit longer in this game, that maybe Allen gets an opportunity with the ones. But I think I would bet heavily on him at least being the second quarterback in, whomever he ends up being on the field with. So that's a step in the right direction. I think if Allen last week worked with the threes, then this week we think he'll have an opportunity to work with the twos. At least, again, that's what he did all week in practice. Like, that's something to really watch. And then, of course, you've got all the other various position battles. Zay Jones will play in this game. Corey Coleman will play in this game. Both receivers who are vying for key roles with this team. Zay Jones missed all of the offseason and only started practicing for real this week. Corey Coleman has only been on the team a little more than a week and has yet to play in a game because he wasn't up to speed enough to play in last Thursday's preseason opener. So both of those guys will be adding to the wide receiver battle that'll be worth watching. You've got backup running back, which might get interesting with Marcus Murphy at this point challenging maybe Chris Ivory for some playing time, although Ivory distinguished himself pretty well last week too. There's a lot to sink your teeth into. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to talk about any of it and all of it, I am here to do that again for about 4 hours. That's kind of how this goes. We will have the roundtable segment of this pregame show coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, and that will feature Chris Brown, lead journalist from BuffaloBills.com, Mark Kelso, Bills game analyst here on the Bills Radio Network, and our own Sal Capaccio, who's the sideline reporter on these games. They're all on the scene in Cleveland. I'm here in our Amherst studios. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's go to the phones. Bill is first up here on Bills Game Day. Thanks for calling, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I want to talk about Tyrod Taylor for a minute.
Good. Go ahead, please.
Biggest thing I think we're going to miss, ball security. He got out there and he kept the ball with the offense. Almost to a fault because he wasn't stretching the field and wasn't taking chances. Hopefully that's something we're not missing this year. But my question for you is more of your opinion. What's the bigger difference with the offense this year? Having somebody new behind center who's throwing the ball, or the entire offensive system, having the new coordinator come in and Brian Dable's system of putting the ball out there? I mean, all three of those guys got out there throwing the ball, something we weren't doing last year.
Yeah.
What do you think the bigger influence is? Is it the new system? Could we have kept Tyrod and really rocked this new system? Or do you think that we had to have a new arm back there to do it?
I like this. This is a bit of a cruncher for me. I think they needed to move on. And frankly, they made the decision to move on before they even knew what they were going to do with their offense. I think they felt like Tyrod Taylor had some tendencies that just were not going to line up with what they wanted. And one of those, a key one there you referenced, was his not wanting to get rid of the ball. Think of how Nathan Peterman and McCarron both, them more so than Josh Allen, on Thursday night against Carolina, got the ball out quickly. Like that was effective, and it was on target, and it was quick. And that is not something that Taylor is inclined to do. I don't want to say he's not good at it. When he does it, maybe he's okay at it. He just doesn't do it frequently enough. So I think they needed a new guy there, but they obviously also needed someone new scheming the offense. I'm encouraged. I just talked a little bit there before we took the call about Dable and that's offense coordinator Brian Dable, by the way, and what his influence could end up being and what his scheme could be, and being encouraged by what we saw in week one of the preseason. I don't think you can overstate how, I don't know, backwards thinking last year's offense was. Rick Dennison, to me, had prehistoric. I mean, it just, he's a dinosaur. That style of offense is just not where the league is at. And I don't know for sure. The returns are hard to evaluate accurately at this point. But what I think we did see last week was some indication that at least gives me hope that the Bills will have a more modern-looking passing game with Brian Daboll here, scheming guys open, getting the ball out quickly. So, I mean, I don't know. You're asking me to choose which one's more important. I think they were both vital. Getting the right guy to run your offense, to me, has grown in importance over the course of the last few years in the league to such an extent that, like, I feel a little bit silly for all the years I spent going, it really doesn't matter who the coach is, just get me a quarterback. And maybe that's evolved over time as defenses have become more challenging, but I think you've got a lot of evidence recently in the league, the Rams with Sean McVay, the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, and before that, the Atlanta Falcons. Look at the Falcons from one year to the next. Kyle Shanahan with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and the Sanu, all those guys in Atlanta, they're in the Super Bowl. Last year, they couldn't score on the Bills. Like they struggled on offense, comparatively speaking, with what they did the year before. I think that was Shanahan's influence. So he's another one. Bill O'Brien with Deshaun Watson in Houston. What people are expecting the Bears to do with their new coach, the coordinator who's come over from Kansas City. And I'm leaving out the Super Bowl champions. The Eagles had a lot of college concepts, run-pass option concepts that really helped Carson Wentz and then ultimately Nick Foles be successful. And that's, you know, Peterson and Frank Reich, and now Frank Reich is in Indy. We'll see if he can do some of the same things he did and had a part in with Philadelphia for Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. I feel like the role of the schemer drawing things up, I think these young quarterbacks showing up in the league are always going to be challenged by the speed of the NFL, the complexity of the defenses they're seeing. I think the advantage some of these young guys, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, maybe now Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, are getting in the NFL is they've got coaches who are drawing it up in such a way that it presents obvious targets depending on what you're seeing, some visual keys that you're looking at as you survey the defense. And I think the Bills need to get to that place on offense if Josh Allen is going to succeed. And I don't know if they're there, but I was encouraged by what I saw last week. So I needed a new quarterback and I needed a new offense. I needed to get out of what Rick Dennison was doing here with Tyrod Taylor. It was ill-suited to Tyrod Taylor's skill set. That was obvious from the word go when they first started practicing in the spring. It seemed like what you were hearing they were going to try to be on offense didn't really line up with who Tyrod Taylor was, and I think that showed. So despite the fact that you needed to change the offense, I think you also needed to change the quarterback. So I don't know. I just talked for like 6 minutes, and I don't think I really definitively answered the caller's question, as I think it's hard to. I think they both needed freshening up, and they've accomplished that. They've got two new quarterbacks, plus a guy who barely played last year, and they've got an entire new offense. So that's how I look at that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We are underway here on Bills Game Day. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. Bills and Browns are coming up tonight at 7:30. John Murphy, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio will have the call. Keep it right here. More of your calls are welcome. Tyrod Taylor playing his former team. Your feelings on the Bills moving on from Tyrod Taylor. Josh Allen, his opportunity tonight. How much is there to gain for him playing, perhaps, we think, with the number twos in this game? All of that and more up for discussion as we continue. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Absolutely, 100%, he's in full command of the team. And I think that what you saw in that one episode is he was establishing, because he knows. I mean, he does have some really strong guys as coordinators. These guys have been head coaches before. And, you know, he's establishing that, you know what, this is my show now. So if I want to rest players and try to get them to the season healthy, that's how I'm going to do it.
That's the fine Browns beat reporter from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot, talking about Hugh Jackson and what fans all around the world have been watching on HBO on Hard Knocks. Hugh Jackson, the Browns coach. Welcome back to Bills Game Day. I am the Bulldog. Glad to have you along with us here. I want to remind you to be sure and stay tuned following today's game for the Coach's Show with head coach Sean McDermott live during the Bills postgame show. That'll be brought to you by Northtown Automotive Sales, Service, and Selection to the nth degree. That's Northtown. The Bills and Browns around 7:30 from Cleveland. The weather tonight in Cleveland, it's currently raining in Cleveland, but storms are supposed to clear now. The forecast has been updated. Storms are expected to clear within the next 30 minutes or so. And then you're looking at partly cloudy, partly sunny, low 70s, up right about till kickoff. Then it's supposed to heat up. Must be a new front rolling in. Temperatures approaching the 80s. And by 8 o'clock, and then for the rest of the night, there's a decent chance of thunderstorms. That is the forecast for the Bills and the Browns. Weather forecast brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers if you want to get in here on Bills game day. Mike Schoep, by the way, is on vacation, so you've just got me here taking you up into the roundtable with Sal and Mark Kelso and Chris Brown. That'll come your way in the final hour of my part of this show, and then at 7:30, the game will come at you again from Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor is playing against the Bills. Yes, it's only a preseason game, but this is the lone meeting this year, and Tyrod Taylor doesn't have a long-term contract with the Cleveland Browns, so we'll see what the future will end up holding for him. But 3 years as the Bills starter, the Bills decided they wanted to go a different direction. They traded him away despite ending the 17-year playoff drought. Now he's on the Browns, and we'll see how long he keeps a hold of that job, as Baker Mayfield was made the number one overall pick in the NFL draft this past April. That's another part of this game tonight. You've got Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, Josh Allen for the Bills. Maybe they're in the game at the same time, you know, like handling their respective offenses at the same part of the game. That'll be something that'll be interesting, as well as, of course, seeing how Tyrod handles playing against the Bills for the first time. John is next up here on Bills Game Day. Thanks for calling, John. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. Hey, I wasn't a Tyrod hater, and, you know, he wasn't a bad player. He did what was asked of him. You know, he played with some pretty bad wide receivers last year. When he had Sammy Watkins, who could stretch the field, he hit the long ball. They decided to move on from him, and obviously that's their choice, and I think it was a good move. I'm excited about Josh Allen. I think he's got a big arm. He's dynamic, and you know what? If he's my quarterback of the future, I would start him right away. I really would. I'll hang up and listen, sir.
Okay, John, thank you. Yeah, I don't have a bad word to say about Taylor at all. I mean, I really don't. Unless wanting him to be replaced is to be – I mean, I guess it could be. You know, what am I saying? I didn't think he was good enough. I guess I have to own that. But I don't say it with, I don't mean to be harsh about it, really. I think he was pretty good for the Bills. He did not put up big numbers in the passing game, but he did run for more than 500 yards a season. He kept drives alive doing that. He scored rushing touchdowns in addition to throwing touchdowns, and he took care of the ball. Caller in the first segment wondered if the Bills will miss that, and I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know how they won't miss that. Unless A.J. McCarron ends up being their quarterback, and he turns out to be also really good at that. Because Nathan Peterman threw more picks last year playing about four quarters of football than Taylor threw all year. So, like, there's that. I think you're gonna get turnovers. If Josh Allen ends up playing, you're gonna get mistakes. It's just going to happen. It's unavoidable with a kid playing. You're just gonna see him get fooled. You're going to see him make mistakes. His inaccuracy will cause that. And so, you know, Taylor was really good at that to almost a frustrating level with fans. But they're almost certainly going to, I think, struggle to maintain that that sort of turnover margin that they had last year. I just don't see how they'll be able to do it with a different guy playing quarterback. But I liked Taylor. He got here when Rex Ryan was here, and right from the get-go, I thought it was right to say, and I did often say when there was a battle going on between Taylor, Matt Cassel, and EJ Manuel, that you should root for Taylor to win that battle, because we already know what Manuel is, and Matt Cassel, to me, journeyman junk baller, what am I doing? Maybe Taylor can be better than that. And I think he was. But there were limitations there in the passing game that I think are very hard to overcome. So despite him taking care of the ball, despite his running, I think they needed to do something else at quarterback. But like, I'm not going into this year hoping Tyrod Taylor fails, because if he doesn't, then the Bills are going to look stupid. Like, I'm not thinking that way at all. I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's exactly who he's been. And I hope he goes and continues to play like he has. I doubt that he's going to be much more prolific and explosive playing with the Cleveland Browns than he was with the Buffalo Bills, because of just how he plays the game. It could happen. And again, I'm not rooting against it. I just don't expect it. So I'm not in any kind of a fear bunker about Tyrod Taylor. I think they made their decision. I supported that decision, and I wish him well. I hope it goes well for him in Cleveland and then beyond that. You know, you don't talk about being in a fear bunker, which is a phrasing that we use here about things that we don't want to go a certain way. I'm in a fear bunker about Patrick Mahomes. I'm in a fear bunker about Josh Rosen. Those are guys that the Bills could have chosen to be their quarterback instead of Tyrod Taylor, and they didn't. They passed on Patrick Mahomes last year. They passed on Josh Rosen this year, and they chose Josh Allen. So, like, those two guys and Allen, you can include Lamar Jackson in that, too. I think it would be right to. I don't want to overlook him. I like that idea a lot, too. Like, those are the players that I look at and wonder, like, how I'm going to be judging Josh Allen against those players. I'm not really going to bother doing that with Tyrod Taylor, because I wanted to move on, but I have no ill will towards him. Like, I'm hoping Tyrod Taylor has a successful career from here on out. Mike is next up on Bills Game Day. Thanks for calling, Mike. You're on the air.
How's it going, Bulldog?
Great.
First of all, it's nice to listen on a Friday and not hear Mike talking smack about preseason, but. anyway.
Well, stay tuned. Maybe I'll talk some smack about how much preseason sucks too at some point. But anyway, go ahead.
You're just as excited as I am about
this. I am excited about this game. Yeah, that's right.
I think that the turnover thing with Tyrod is, I don't think it's going to be a concern, because good quarterbacks throw interceptions. It's just a part of taking risk. And I guess if you stack up your defense like they've done, and you have McDermott there, a defensive-minded coach, you try to overcome turnovers, but you're going to get more positives than you are negatives. I mean, look at Brett Favre. I mean, even Tom Brady throws interceptions. It's just a part of the game. So you can't be scared of that, you know?
Well, on some level, thank you, Mike. I agree with you. But I think interceptions around the league, like you mentioned Brett Favre and you mentioned Tom Brady, there is no way. I'm not even going to look. I'll look during the break. I can't look right now because I'm talking, and I can't do two things at once. I'm a 53-year-old man. I'm not that adept. There is no way the interception numbers, the year-to-year totals on Brett Favre and Tom Brady are anywhere near the same, interception-wise. The game is different. Interceptions are down. The top quarterbacks throw fewer of them. It's one of the reasons why guys in this era have such higher quarterback ratings, comparatively speaking, to some of the all-time greats that played in the mid-80s to the late 90s. It's just a different game, and taking care of the ball is at a premium. So, but that aside, sure, I mean, the general thought is, if I'm only throwing, like, what was a good game from Tyrod Taylor, right? 160 yards, a touchdown, a rushing touchdown, 40 yards rushing. Like, that's a Tyrod Taylor. You're like, okay, well, he was efficient. It was pretty good. What do you want? You want 250 yards passing? You want 220 and maybe two touchdowns and a pick? And you hope that washes out. The thing is, I mean, you just don't know where that pick is going to come. And if you never throw them, you're never going to put the ball in your opponent's hand at your own 20-yard line. Whereas if you throw them, sometimes you're going to put the ball in your opponent's hand at your 20-yard line, and you're going to pay a price for that probably. I mean, that's at least 3 points, and it's a great look at a touchdown. So I think it can get kind of tricky there. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. We're going to continue along here on Bills Game Day. Sal Capaccio is going to join me from Cleveland coming up at the top of the hour. And then again, in the 5 o'clock hour, the Bills Roundtable will come your way from 6 to 7 with Mark Kelso, Chris Brown, and Sal Capaccio. So hang in there, man. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Browns from Cleveland tonight right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
I was not crazy about him as a prospect, right? But I will say this. If he's going to be a good quarterback somewhere, Buffalo's a pretty good place for him. Because I got to tell you, like, just from a playing standpoint, he's got a little Jim Kelly in him. You know, just like a little, he's this big guy. He kind of looks like that. He's cut from that same mold, I would say. So I kind of get what they're going for. And it'd be fun to watch him try to develop.
That's Terrez Paylor. He was a guest on this show around this time yesterday in Buffalo. It's Bills game day. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. Bills and Browns coming up tonight at around 7:30 from Cleveland. We're about 15 minutes away from Sal Capaccio joining the fray here. He'll be with us a couple of different times here between now and 6, and then for the full hour between 6 and 7, along with Chris Brown and Mark Kelso from Cleveland for the roundtable. I want to let you know that for every field goal scored by Buffalo this football season, Liberty Cab will make a donation to the Family Justice Center. Since 2006, the Family Justice Center has been providing a safe place for the victims and children of domestic violence, holding offenders accountable with the goal of giving victims options to take back control of their lives. Visit fjcsafe.org and share our goal to protect our community from domestic violence. Liberty Cab, passionate about protecting our community. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. A lot of storylines in this preseason tilt tonight. Tyrod Taylor. The Browns are on Hard Knocks. You know, you may be getting more of a, if you're into that, getting more of a window into them through the camera lenses of HBO. But Tyrod Taylor's their starting quarterback. They traded Corey Coleman to the Bills, a wide receiver vying for playing time here in Buffalo. You've got rookie high first round quarterbacks on each team. Baker Mayfield, 1 overall. Josh Allen, number 7 overall. There is juice in this preseason game that normally does not exist. And I, for one, am kind of digging it. Nate is first up this segment here on Bills Game Day. Thanks for calling, Nate. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bulldog? I just had a point I wanted to make. I think they really should sit Josh Allen for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you give him the opportunity to sit and kind of get an idea of how the NFL works for a couple of weeks, and then say whoever decides to start isn't doing well, you know Buffalo's going to be rooting to put him in anyway at that point. And that, you know, after week 4 or 5 or 6, you know, if we're really doing bad, he's getting put in. They have a good boost of confidence. If they start him, I have a feeling that he's going to be kind of, learning. We have to learn quick or kind of fail. And if he's not doing well after week 5 or 6, are they going to pull him? What's that going to do to his confidence as well, too? So I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the call, Nate. I feel like I would want to bet that the Bills feel kind of like you do about it. That's not to say like that's that like a fear of failure is why they wouldn't start him right away, but I would predict that they feel like there's more to be gained by taking their time. And to a certain extent, I can support that. That said, I can't wait to see him play again tonight. All of the negativity, the pessimism about his prospects coming into the draft and since being drafted. The level to which the criticism has raised, I think is really interesting. And when he gets on the field, to me, because of it, it's must-see TV. Like, I really want to see him play because I think a lot of people are on the line with their opinions about how he's going to do as an NFL quarterback, and I love watching things like that happen. So there probably is a case to be made for taking your time, but if he plays really well at some point here this week or next week, I don't know, I'm going to have a hard time supporting being patient because it's super exciting if he looks like he can play and play right away. But we'll see. We got a few weeks to try and sort all that out. We'll take a time out here. Sal Capaccio is straight ahead from Cleveland as Bills game day continues. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.